Hey everyone, it's Alan, your Inspired Intentions producer, and as I'm sure you've heard by now, USA Today has again nominated Skyterra Wellness for Best Wellness Retreat in the country. We're in the home stretch of voting. Voting ends Monday, July 27th at noon Eastern. So please, if you love Inspired Intentions, if you love Skyterra, go vote every day from all of your devices. We've made it super easy for you to go vote. Just go to skyterrawellness.com. Click the link, it's at the top of the homepage, and go vote. As always, thank you for your support, thank you for your votes, and we hope you enjoy the show. Welcome to the Inspired Intentions podcast with Skyterra Wellness. If you've been too busy and not taking care of yourself, it's time to reset habits and plunge into your new normal. I'm your host, Jeff Ford, and I'm joined today with my co-host, Rachel Colasino.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Rachel.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. I'm really excited to get going on this, and I was wondering, do you know the most common cause of work-related disability and missed work days? How about the thing that impacts 80% of people, 80% of our population? Do you know what I'm talking about?
80% of people who deal with something?
Yes. At some point in their life, this is going to occur to them.
Is it back pain?
It is lower back pain. How did you know that?
Just had a feeling.
Yeah. It's just one of those common mobility issues that sort of ensues as we get older. And I think our guest is going to be able to help us out with this topic today.
Hey, I'm really excited for this guest. Should we introduce her?
Let's go for it.
So this is Sarah Hughes. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Rachel.
Sarah is the lead Pilates instructor at Skyterra. And today we're going to talk about Pilates and how it can help probably with lower back pain, I'm guessing, from our introduction.
Yes, it's definitely going to be a focal point of how we can discuss that you can really be specific with your training with Pilates to kind of sort out those imbalances and get that body strong.
And we were talking in the studio before we started recording just about movement in general. And one of the things that Sarah said that I thought was really interesting is that, you know, she would love, of course, if everybody in the world did Pilates, but her most important goal is something that we have talked about before, which is just moving, getting people to move their bodies. And Pilates is one option because we always talk about finding something that you enjoy. So we're going to find out about Pilates, give people a really nice introduction. And if it sounds like something that might help with lower back pain or, you know, something that you might enjoy, they won't go into a class cold.
That's great.
Yeah.
We should get into it.
Yeah, let's do it. Welcome again, Sarah.
Thanks.
So let's start with the basics. And what I thought were going to be the basics was I had originally asked you how long you had been doing Pilates for. And how long have you been doing Pilates for?
Since I was 18, which is a long time.
A long time.
I'm not going to say how old I am.
Who got you into Pilates?
Amanda Stansberry. She was one of my friends in high school, and we had to do senior projects, and hers was learning how to teach Pilates. And so a few of us were her little guinea pigs, and that's the first time I did Pilates.
That's so cool. So a friend brought you into it.
And how long have you been teaching Pilates for?
I've been certified to teach for about a year, and before that, you have to do lots of practice. So I guess including that, about 2 years.
Okay.
How was the certification process? Was it like difficult to get your bearings and to like feel confident about your craft in the beginning?
And I'm still kind of working on that because there are so many different, there's a lot of variety in Pilates.
Yeah. With Pilates, like it's really complex, like the positioning too. And and I think that's what's so valuable about Pilates instructors is they know the body really well.
Right. And there's different types of certifications. There's different types of Pilates. So, I'm still learning about it.
Like any good instructor.
Yeah,
that's right.
There's always more to learn.
Learning.
And that's the fun part about it for me is that you can never really know it all.
100.
It's one of those things that you can always learn more about. So it makes it a lot of fun.
And Sarah, you have a background in education and teaching as well.
Yes. So I taught elementary school. I did some teacher training and got my master's in it and then decided to be a Pilates instructor. So
does that background help you in your classes when you're working with the students?
It does, especially when someone's challenged by a particular exercise. It makes it a little easier for me to break it down into parts and teach it to them and kind of troubleshoot what they need to get before they can put it together to make that bigger movement happen.
I think getting repetitions in front of children and being able to teach them definitely helps you with kind of sorting out even the fitness side of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Can you tell us a little bit about how Pilates started?
So Joseph Pilates, who would have guessed, invented Pilates.
So it's named after a person.
It is. And it was actually called Contrology when he was alive. That's what he called it.
So Contrology?
Contrology, yeah.
Do you know how to spell that? Not to put you on the spot.
I do. Do you want me to spell it?
If I mean, you're a past teacher. Go for it.
So now I'm going to mess it up.
It's okay. We have show notes.
Contrology.
Contrology.
Contrology. Interesting.
I'm trying to visualize. Yeah. I think I got it right.
That's okay. I think you did too.
Yeah, so that's a little insight into what his thinking was. It's a lot of mind-body connection, which has a similarity to yoga. It's not as much of the spiritual connection of yoga, although some people think it is.
Might depend on the practice or what the instructor is kind of projecting and, and how their style, how they like to teach.
Exactly. It has a lot to do with style. So that's what drew me to it at first. It's very meditative, I guess, when you can only focus. There's so many things you're thinking about, and really you have to focus on yourself and forget everything else for 1 hour. So
I like that.
That's the beautiful part of a Pilates class.
And Sarah, when Joseph Pilates started Pilates, was he doing it for himself? How did the practice grow?
It did start. He actually had some health issues as a child. Asthma was one of them. And he believed in the healing power of movement. And so he studied a lot of different disciplines and tried to kind of combine them to create Contrology. And he worked with yoga. He studied animals and how they move. He studied how children grow and develop, the movements they make as they're growing. He studied reflexology, a really broad range of disciplines. And so it's very interesting how he put them all together. You'll see little pieces of those throughout.
It almost sounds like an art form in a way, too, like very research-based and kind of stemmed from what he was personally experiencing.
Yes.
That's so cool.
And did he notice a change as he was developing the practice and working on it himself? Did he notice a change in his body?
Yes. So he became very, I think, I'm trying to remember the age. I don't remember exactly what age it was, but it was in his teens. He was able to, like, pose for fitness. He was like a fitness model.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A lot of people come out of that world.
Hmm.
They're experienced different types of fitness.
Yeah.
I see some crossover there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So really interesting.
And then how did he take that practice and bring it to other people?
So he was German and he lived in England in World War II. And so a lot of the Germans were put together at that time. And he encouraged all of them to exercise every day, and he believed that would keep their minds fresh and keep everyone from getting kind of depressed. And then he worked with injured soldiers as well. So that's how some of the Pilates equipment actually was created, was from his work with soldiers. So they were, if they were in the hospital bed, he would attach springs to the bed so that they could move what was mobile. So a lot of the reformer exercises come from that work.
So it was almost in a rehabilitative
setting. Rehabilitative, okay. Yes. That was its original.
Yeah. When did it get kind of really commercialized? What I mean by that is you see these studios popping up a lot now. I think it's similar to yoga in a way, where there's a lot more people kind of instituting it. Could you kind of elaborate on maybe when you saw the trend start to shift towards like Pilates studios and some of this equipment?
Well, I think, you know, he moved to New York with his wife, and that was after the war. They had a studio there, and he worked with very, like, famous people then. And so that's where people started to see people with the, quote, Pilates body.
And
started to get interested in it. And so it was very New York was really where it kind of sprung up in the U.S. And after that, I guess it was very much something people thought of as like, you know, Hollywood people would do Pilates.
Okay.
I don't really know exactly when I think maybe all the Pilates studios started popping up when I was living overseas because I came home and they were all here. So I'm not sure exactly when it happened, but it just kind of spread everywhere. It was really big in California.
That's interesting. I mean, New York and California always have like the new trends with fitness.
Right.
Like when you look at the new types of fitness coming out, it's interesting that something that's been around for such a long period of time did come from one of those big cities and for that specific type of clientele in the beginning.
And it used to be way more expensive.
Okay.
And that is one of the few drawbacks is some studios can be quite expensive to take Pilates classes.
Is it because this equipment is really cool?
Yeah, the equipment is very like super pricey. Cool. Yeah, the equipment's a lot of fun.
So you had mentioned the reformer as the piece of equipment and how it was developed from hospital bed. Can you tell us what a reformer is?
So a reformer is a piece of equipment we use for Pilates, and it's kind of imagine a hospital bed, and it can be a little higher, a little, not a little higher, a little lower usually, but it's like a platform, maybe twin bed size, maybe a little smaller, and they're getting a little longer now because taller people, but it has a moving piece in the middle, so maybe half of the bed. And that's called the carriage, and it can move back and forth. And it has springs attached underneath. So that changes the resistance.
The carriage. That's cool.
There's a headrest.
There's a headrest?
And shoulder blocks.
Wow.
And we have springs with a short loop and a long loop. We put our hands in the short ones. We put our feet in the long ones. Everyone loves putting their feet in the straps.
Really? So feet is where people like, they're like, oh my gosh, can't wait.
Well, there is a big focus on feet, but I think part of why people like legs and straps is because it's a way to work lower body without putting pressure on the lower back, like you
were
mentioning.
That's super important too, because when you look at like lower back injuries, a lot of it can stem by having a weak lower body in general, or just like a tight lower body as well. It's like when you think of the lower back, it's either something above or below is causing some pain, or it's one of those lifestyle issues of maybe sitting too much that starts to weaken those muscles over time.
Yeah.
And I think that's always like so hard with guests sometimes is to figure out what type of leg work they can do that's not going to put stress on those joints. And so it sounds like a reformer is a really great practice for those folks who might be dealing with those types of injuries.
It is. We have a lot of clients that come because their physical therapist suggested Pilates.
Oh, that's cool.
Or their chiropractor suggested Pilates. So it's great, especially for someone who's had injuries and they feel like they can't exercise the way they used to. That can be very discouraging.
Yeah.
So it's a great way to just start moving again. And it is healing. So I think that's what's so great about it is I love seeing people start doing things that they couldn't do or they haven't done in a while.
What are some of those reactions? I mean, it sounds so powerful that like you're getting these folks who kind of don't believe in themselves or they wish they could be doing more, but they, it makes sense for them to start there. Do you have any like wild reactions or common things that people tell you?
I do. Every day I have clients that come and tell me, you know, just things like from their functional daily movements that have changed. So I have one of my favorite clients. I have a lot of favorite clients, but she worked at a bank and she always had to pick up the big bags of coins and move them. Well, they have to move them. You know, the little coin counter machine.
I didn't know we still did coins in banks.
Yeah. They like empty out the machine that has all the coins in it and have to move them. And
don't you change in your penny jar?
I don't always. It seems to just accumulate in my car. And don't you know those like coin stars, they like take money from you?
They do.
But this is a free anti-commercial. I apologize. But yeah, if you go to the bank, what I'm hearing is these folks have to actually, you know, lug, lug the coins around.
So she used to say she used to always have to get someone else to get it for her because she couldn't
pick
it up.
Oh my gosh. So it was impacting like her ability to do her job.
Right.
Okay.
And so now she can pick them up and
she's like
put
stuck.
Them on the tray and roll them down without hurting her back.
That's powerful.
It is. Yeah.
Those are the things I think some of us, we take them for granted.
We
do. You know, pain is always that lag indicator. You know, we don't think about being in pain until it happens.
And I've had other clients who like hiking, they're like, oh, I almost fell the other day. I almost ate it. And I caught myself and I used my core and I thought of you.
That's awesome.
So anytime someone doesn't fall, they tell me about it.
I like it.
I didn't fall today. That's great. Sarah, so would you say, you know, we started the podcast talking about lower back pain. Is that the injury that you hear about most often when people come to you?
Yes. So I would say that 80% that you said didn't mm-hmm. really surprise me. That matches what I hear from most clients.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you think Pilates really helps people strengthen their core?
Yes. So it is a main emphasis on the core, and mm-hmm. everything stems from there. So every exercise in Pilates is a core exercise.
Wow. Like in some way, whether you're using the legs or using the arms, you're right. still eliciting like a midline mm-hmm. response.
Yes. So whether you're moving from the core or you're using your core for stability, it's working.
Could you, for our listeners, define core? I think it's like mm-hmm. something that gets thrown around as like, oh, use your core, mm-hmm. use your core. Could you break that down for our listeners?
Yeah. So I like to call the core your powerhouse. Ooh. When I'm instructing, I say engage your powerhouse, because that's where all of our power should start from.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph Pilates didn't have a big focus on the pelvic floor.
Okay.
When he created it, but people after him have added a lot of research about that. So it's kind of lifting your pelvic floor inward and mm-hmm. upward, mm-hmm. always up, and thinking about tightening all of the abdominals. We have layers of them.
Yep.
Kind of tightening all of them towards the spinal column. And so you're trying to target the deeper muscles that are closer to the spinal column rather than the global, more surface muscles.
Understandable.
Yeah.
And you mentioned early on in the podcast this concept of positioning, and then in your description of the reformer with all of the pieces of equipment, it sounds like positioning is really important.
It is. It's key. Especially we really focus on position of the spine and the pelvis.
What are some cues that you give to people in class that maybe we can all use in our everyday lives when it comes to positioning and making sure our powerhouse is engaged?
I think I always say to them, you know, think about drawing everything towards your spinal column.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of instructors will say, you know, belly to spine. So they'll mm-hmm. say, pull your belly button to your spine, which is also accurate. I like thinking about pulling everything towards the spinal column, because I think it's more of a all the way around the torso, everything squeezing inward, because that's what you're trying to protect is your spine. So if you're pulling everything in towards your spine and lifting like your belly button up behind your ribcage a little, that's a great thing to think about when you're walking upstairs, when you're hiking, mm-hmm. when you're lifting heavy things.
100%. Yeah. Locking it in.
And I think that's an important point too, Sarah, which is this isn't just for Pilates class. This is
right.
for every movement that you make.
Yes. And that's why I am so obsessed with Pilates. It's very functional. Mm-hmm. So it was designed to create more, I guess, smoothness with our daily movements. So kind of thinking about all the little things that you do throughout the day and how they affect your body.
Hmm.
So even someone who sits a lot, mm-hmm. their lower back hurts, like you said, we tend to kind of lean to one side and get one side a little tighter than the other,
so we'll
usually
like
our dominant side.
Those asymmetries just by how
right.
we're living. And just to define asymmetry, just kind of like almost an imbalance, one side starts to compensate
right.
over time.
Which all of us aren't, none of us are symmetrical.
Oh yeah, yeah. Everyone's got yeah. some deviation mm-hmm. based
right.
off how they're living and how they're moving.
Right. But we try to bring that symmetry to the body.
That's cool.
With Pilates. Yeah.
Sarah, can you say more about the mind-body connection involved in Pilates?
So a lot of the exercises in Pilates require that you focus on a specific muscle group. Especially when you're trying to get a little deeper activation, we all have muscles that are a little bit dominant. I like to call them the nosy neighbors. They're the ones that try to help out when you don't want them to, and you want them to kind of stay out of your business.
This is like when folks say it's like this is firing when it shouldn't be firing,
right?
Kind of thing.
So a big one is hip flexors.
Mm. Yes, we see this a lot
yeah.
in some of our past work.
Right, people tend to get very grippy right in the hip flexor.
Mm-hmm.
Including me, everyone.
It's such a small muscle group, too. And
mm-hmm.
I think that the big thing I'm always trying to preach is folks starting to use those larger movers.
Right. Because
that's really what changes muscle. That's what's going to probably decrease pain in the body
mm-hmm.
when we get those muscles stronger, or when we use the right muscles
right.
like our everyday.
Right.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about?
Mind-body connection.
Mind-body connection. So a lot of what we're trying to get people to do is turn off the muscles that we don't need to use for a certain exercise and focus on the muscles that we want them to use. Because there's
mm-hmm.
exercises that you can do, and you can do them without getting the work that we would like you to get.
Yes.
So sometimes I get a lot of beginners will say, I don't feel anything in my core. So that's a common thing for them to say, like, I don't feel anything when I do that. So kind of teaching people how to use that kind of mind connection to find that activation.
What do you say when they say, I don't feel it in my core?
She
I
tells say, them to leave will. Class. Or you will.
You will. A very common phrase is, you know, Pilates is easy until you do it right. And that has a little bit of truth to it. You can do some of the movements using muscles that
shouldn't be like activated.
Right.
Gotcha.
And usually it won't feel good when you do it that way. Mm-hmm. You'll know. So a lot of people tend to use their neck instead of their core. So a lot of when we're lifting upward from the floor, we tend to pull from our neck or from our head. So a lot of people will get that neck trapezius tension.
Mm-hmm.
So
kind of, trapezius is just the muscles kind of right besides the neck for our listeners.
Yes.
Everyone's pointing to them right now.
Yep. Right. We're all feeling that. It's where a lot of us carry our tension.
What do you do if you've got like this executive producer who has like one big trapezius muscle?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something you can do in Pilates to fix that?
Yes.
It's just super weird and we have to look at it every time we do a podcast. But we could do something to fix that.
Well, you would have to actually do Pilates for an extended period of time. Yes.
So our executive producer, there's a light at the end of the tunnel for him.
Yeah.
Great.
There is.
We'll get back on track now.
Sarah, if I am listening to this podcast and Pilates sounds like it might be really interesting for me, what would you recommend people look for a studio near them?
Yes. And mat classes are a great place to start. They're also a little easier on the wallet.
So what's the difference between a mat class and a reformer?
So the mat class, it's only on a mat. Sometimes we have props, but similar to yoga in that you can just lay the mat on the floor so you can have more people in a space. And there's not a lot of expensive equipment involved, which, you know, makes it a little cheaper, a little more affordable. And, you know, a lot of the mat work carries over to the reformer work. So if you can get really good at mat and find that connection with your body, and I almost prefer starting on mat because you find those deeper connections before you introduce another piece of equipment to it. So that just makes it really translates well when you start using the equipment. You're still using everything that you learned on the mat.
That makes sense. Kind of create the connection before you start adding like a new sensus to it.
Right.
That your body might not be ready for.
Yeah.
Because I've heard reformers can be really difficult, especially as folks like build up. Like
right.
You can do some pretty awesome stuff on them.
Yeah. That being said, people that are doing it for more rehabilitative work tend to start with reformer.
Okay.
Okay.
Because it can be challenging to get down on the mat.
That makes sense.
And especially with knee challenges and those types of things. So reformer is a great place to start if you're doing it for rehabilitative work. If it's just something you want to try out and you don't really have that many injuries, then mat is where I would start.
Great.
Sarah, do you have any recommendations for questions that people ask as they start to investigate Pilates studios?
I think it's great to ask what style the studio is. There are very classical studios. There are contemporary. There are Stott Pilates, Balanced Body. You know, there's just a lot of variety. And you want to kind of see what their process is for learning Pilates. So most studios will have beginner classes, and you'll have to take a certain number of beginner classes before you can take the next level up. Sometimes it's not a certain number. It's just when your instructor tells you you're ready.
This sounds like karate.
Because we have people that come who have never really moved their bodies before, you know, other than their just daily movements. And then you have people that come, a lot of people that do yoga or other exercises where they already kind of have that mind-body awareness. And it's a little quicker of a pickup for them.
And I know you leave room at the end of your classes for questions. What are the questions that you hear most frequently?
I'll have a lot of people ask about specific injuries and if Pilates is right for them, or if, you know, I'll always have people say, is it safe for me to do Pilates? And for most people, I would say yes, it's a very safe way to exercise. But I do also suggest if you've ever had an injury, you should always ask your doctor, no matter what kind of movement it is. If you've had a surgery, you shouldn't be doing something new without asking your doctor, no matter what it is. So I think it's important that people understand that we're not doctors, even though we do know a lot about the body. And I, you know, we have instructors that were physical therapists and then they found Pilates and
probably a lot of overlap there.
There is a lot of
using
overlap.
Some of the techniques based off like their experience. I'm sure I see a lot of joint kind of centers from a standpoint of physical therapy, Pilates, and like these different modalities to fix the body.
But that being said, we're still not doctors. So, and I always say I'm not a physical therapist, but even if you are a physical therapist, you know, the doctor that did your surgery is the one you need to ask about. And that way we can have guidelines for what movements are great for you and which ones aren't before you come.
And Sarah, I have one last question for you. And that is, you know, I heard you say a couple of times kind of how Pilates is different from yoga.
Yes.
But people who do yoga may already have that mind-body connection. What are the similarities and then what are the differences other than the equipment, of course?
Right. I think the biggest difference is the breath. So the breath is very different from any other exercise that I know of. It's an inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth, and we do not breathe into the belly. Because when you engage your abdominals and you're pulling everything towards your spine, there's no room for air. So your breath has to go into your rib cage. So it's your rib cage opening and closing.
I think that's important with the breath too, is sometimes we always cue belly breathing, belly breathing, belly breathing. And it definitely is more of what Sarah was alluding to earlier is I like how she regrouped on that cue of belly button to the spine in that we want air to fully surround all the way up into that diaphragm.
Right.
And I don't think, you know, sometimes when we teach it mechanically, I can kind of hear what Sarah's saying that it makes sense to kind of play around with that.
Right. And so some usually when I start class, I'll say, you know, it takes a while to learn the Pilates breath, especially if you've never done it before. So as long as breath continues to move in and out and you're not holding it, it's okay. But Joseph Pilates believed that the Pilates breath was kind of like an internal shower. So, so you're supposed to get all of the old air out.
Yeah, get that stale stuff gone.
And he thought all the stale air that when we kind of shallow breathe through the day is like a breeding ground for germs and all of that. So the exhale is like a full exhale. Get everything out.
So really the rib pull cage everything closes, down. Yeah.
And then really inflating the lungs and taking in all that fresh air every time you inhale. Yeah.
Big drink of fresh air.
Yeah.
Sarah, is there anything else you think is important for our listeners to know?
I just think, you know, Pilates is great and I think everyone should try it. But I think above all else, I think part of what I like about Pilates is that people that think they can't move anymore or they've had a surgery or they've haven't moved since they were 20 and now they're 60 and they get kind of discouraged and think, you know, it's too late. I think there's always a way you can move your body. And I do think that if you find the right kind of movement for you, it can be healing. So I think just kind of encouraging people to just try something.
Try something new.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's almost like Pilates can bring back the confidence.
Yeah.
I think that's important. So important with fitness. I'm glad we're ending on that.
Good.
So to summarize, Pilates is one option for movement. Some of the cues that we can take with us today is pulling your belly button towards your spine, pulling your core to your spine, and what we're really trying to do is protect the spine. There are a couple of different options for classes. There's mat class, which Sarah recommends you start at if you haven't done Pilates before, then moving to a reformer once you're comfortable with the movement. However, if you've had an injury, think of the reformer work as rehabilitative work. The main difference between Pilates and yoga is the breath work. With Pilates, it's in through the nose, out through the mouth with a full exhale, and pulling the breath into the rib cage only. If you're looking for Pilates, find a studio, ask about their process for learning, and of course, ask your doctor if you've had any injuries or surgeries, if Pilates is right for you. Thanks so much, Sarah. Did I miss anything?
No, that was it.
Thanks again.
Thanks, Sarah.
You.
The Inspired Intentions podcast is a production of SkyTerra Wellness Retreat. Special thanks to our executive producer, Alan Broyhill. Send us your questions and comments to inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. Subscribe on iTunes and everywhere podcasts can be found. If someone you know might benefit from this podcast, share Inspired Intentions with them and give us a 5-star rating. Join us next week as we cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into your already busy life. Thanks for listening.